He's here. We are lucky. It's the Food Mensch, Arthur Schwartz. Hello, Arthur.
Yes, I'm right here. And it is apropos of July 4th. I don't know when you're going to be listening, anybody, to this, but we're in the vicinity of July 4th one way or another. And the natural food thing to talk about on July 4th is ice cream. Who doesn't like ice cream? And hot dogs. I could say there are a lot of people who don't like hot dogs, but you know, it is the national food on July 4th. And must say, and tastes better if you cook it outside on a grill. I like that. But anyway, I have been getting a lot of, because it's summer, been getting a lot of questions about what's the difference between ice cream and gelato. And there is a difference. There are three differences. Let's start with the fat content. Gelato has, believe it or not, because it's very creamy, has less fat than American ice cream. And that is because American ice cream has a larger cream content, whereas gelato is made with a larger portion of actual milk, whole milk, but milk. And that's number one is the fat content. Number two is the way it is churned. American ice cream is churned so that in the end, and this is law, by the way, it has as much as, but no more, than 50% air. That as you churn the cream, which of course has sugar in it too, it expands in volume. And you can churn as much as I said, 50% of air. Whereas gelato is more like 20%. Now, this is interesting, I think. Years ago, there was a revolution in American ice cream, and it was called Häagen-Dazs. A man named Reuben Mattis, who was really an engineer, figured out a way to make ice cream so that it didn't taste greasy, but it had a higher fat content than the usual American ice cream. And so part of it was the churning of the ice cream. So he ended up with a much creamier product than the typical American ice cream, even if it didn't have eggs in it. Now, American ice cream can have eggs in it. It is actually definitively frozen custard, because you mix the eggs with your cream or milk, and you heat them together, and then you freeze it. So that is literally frozen custard. So first is the fat content. Second is the way the product is churned. And third is the temperature that it's served at. American ice cream is meant to be served at 0 degrees, which is 32 degrees less than freezing. It's very cold. It's what our freezers freeze at. And by the way, I don't really like my ice cream that frozen, so I always... a container of Häagen-Dazs, it has to come out of the freezer at least before I want, because it should fit. So temperature for gelato is higher, hence it's creamier. But the irony is that nowadays you can buy gelato in the frozen food case at your supermarket. The main brand that I see is called Talenti, which is owned now by Unilever, this enormous multinational company. But Talenti, I mean, after all, it's in the same freezer as the ice cream, and it's going to be hard, even though gelato should not be that hard. It could be 20 degrees, which is really just below freezing. So it should be frozen, of course, not liquidy. But there you go. Those are the three big differences between ice cream and gelato. Now, it came up just the other night at dinner. We went to a local restaurant that I like a lot called Stone Park Cafe. I say it's the only adult restaurant in the neighborhood. But anyway, they have great sorbet. So I always order sorbet there. I had coconut and passion fruit the other day. My friend's girlfriend, who's now a friend of mine too as well, I mean, they're from out of town. They visit with us whenever they come in. She ordered a raspberry. She ordered raspberry sorbet. Anyway, she was stunned at how strikingly raspberry it was and how strikingly coconut. And she said, I don't remember sherbet being like this. I said, well, it wasn't sherbet. Sherbet, American product, S-H-E-R-B-E-T, has dairy in it. Milk, cream, what, I don't know. Look at the package when you buy it. I haven't bought sherbet in so many years, I'm not even sure they still sell sherbet. Are you aware of that, Jill? One way or the other?
I do, you're bringing back, I can't even start with the family stories, so, yeah.
On sherbet.
Yeah,
well.
Sherbet versus frozen custard. And now
frozen
I know what
custard,
that is.
Yeah, right. Frozen custard, we had... In my old neighborhood in Marine Park, there was a place called Dairy Doll, not Dairy Queen, but Dairy Doll. And they had true frozen custard, meaning there was egg in the product. And it was soft serve. It was among the first soft serves. We didn't buy Carvel. Carvel came out about the same time. By the way, interesting about Carvel, Carvel is also a high-fat, low, the word for the air pumped into ice cream is overrun. It's a low overrun product. My problem with Carvel is sometimes, depending on the place you buy it, it can taste greasy because of that high fat content. But also, the flavorings are not up to my standards. I prefer the chocolate of Haagen-Dazs to the chocolate of Carvel. And we have a soft serve place in the neighborhood that makes very good chocolate also. But anyway, back to sherbet. Sherbet has usually some milk or cream in it, and as well as fruit juice and fruit pulp, whereas sorbet is strictly fruit, no dairy at all. And that's why the flavors are so edgy, even, really, meaning they're really the definitive. So what other frozen product is there? Ices. Of course, we call them Italian ices. In Italy, it's called granita, and I always, with the weather we're about to have, which I hear is going to be horrendously hot, I'm always reminded of the story my friend Iris told me about. This is many, many years ago when she was staying on Sicily, ostensibly to escape the heat, except that, it's about the hottest place you can think of. In the summer. But anyway, she made granita by putting her lemon juice, sugar, and a little water in a bottle, shaking it until the sugar dissolved, putting it in the freezer, and then you had to go and shake the bottle every hour or so until you got these wonderful flakes of lemony ice. And I said, well, that was a lot of trouble, having to get up every hour and shake the bottle. She said, well, there's nothing else to do on Sicily in the summer. So that was her story. Anyway, I do make that sometimes, but not with lemon so much as I do with coffee. Just take your some coffee, dissolve as much sugar in it as you like. Not all that much is necessary. I don't put any dairy in there. And freeze it. Now, you could put it in your ice cube tray. An old-fashioned metal ice cube tray is perfect for this. I actually went out and bought a metal ice cube tray because, they're all plastic or silicone these days, and it doesn't freeze as quickly or as nicely as a metal tray makes it do. And I never use the insert anymore, but every once in a while I do make sorbet in it. And any kind of juice will do, be honest with you. I mean granita, I didn't mean sorbet. But you can do it with fruit juice. And it's a fruit granita, lemon granita, orange granita. It's just crystals of ice. So refreshing now.
And you don't use the inside?
You mean the inside of the ice tray?
Peppers?
No. Yeah. What I do is I put the tray in the freezer, and then after an hour or so, take it out, and with a fork, scrape down the sides of the tray, which will have started to crystallize. And you do that a few times until you get a tray full of beautiful ice crystals, whether it's coffee or lemon or I don't know. I just I'm not going to do this, but I have to say, if you're really watching your sugar, there are some sugar-free cranberry products. Ocean Spray makes these 5-calorie per 8-ounce glass juices, cranberry and mixed one. I have to say, I find them a little metallic tasting. I think the artificial sweetener, or whatever sweetener they're using, they are using some sweetener, does that. I tried the one with pomegranate. That was really metallic. So the plain cranberry, though, would make a very refreshing granita in the summer. So switching from cold to hot, the other food that is, I hesitate to use the word, but traditional for July 4th are hot dogs. And you know that the famous Coney Island hot dog eating contest is on July 4th. And I went one year. I think, the crowds were a little too much for me. The event itself was a hoot, but you can watch the event itself on YouTube. So for years, now I'm going to forget his name, Kobayashi, there was a Japanese man who's now, I think, old enough to be a grandfather. There was a Japanese guy who won this contest for many years. Flash forward, I actually made a documentary about hot dogs in New York specifically, for a Japanese TV station. And we went to Coney Island to shoot at Nathan's and to talk about Nathan's. And they took me to a side of the building that had no signage. And I said, we should really be on the other side of the building because that's where they have the hot dog eating contest. And it's a Japanese name up there who's the winner for years now. They said, no, we can't do that because that's a competitive TV station that runs the Nathan's hot dog contest. But now it's some Guido from Brooklyn, who I'm forgetting his name too, who has won the contest many times over. I think last year he ate something like 71 and a half hot dogs in whatever the time allotted is for eating the hot. It's pretty gross. I don't know if you've ever watched it, but these
One.
people stuff
One.
watch the once.
One.
Yeah, once is enough. Once is enough. I must say, it's bad enough to watch. This is very sexist of me, I know, but it's bad enough to watch the men compete, stuffing their faces with hot dogs and buns, and the women, I think, is even grosser. And also, they're always thin women. I don't get that. Anyway, you figure that after this, they go somewhere and regurgitate. I don't know what they do. I never understood competitive eating. Other people obviously love it because there are actually TV shows based on competitive eating.
It's just, we don't do it on our planet, my planet. So I don't understand it. I don't understand any of the. I don't understand
Well, there's a lot I
it.
don't understand.
Tell me.
I don't understand how, on the one hand, Americans can be obsessed with nutrition and health. And on the other hand, only eat variants on hot dogs and hamburgers, mainly hamburgers. Although I'm seeing hot dogs come up, in popularity again. Anyway, Nathan's, is the famous hot dog place in Coney Island, and I have lots of childhood memories about Nathan's. I'm sure if I ever could find that documentary on TV somewhere, maybe I'm sure it exists somewhere. I'll find out what I know about Nathan's, but I know a lot about Nathan's. So Nathan's is named for its original owner, Nathan Handworker. And Nathan Handworker was a Russian immigrant who worked as a roll slicer at a hot dog beer garden in Coney Island called Feltman's. Feltman's was very famous. Until, I have to say, 1921, when the subway reached Coney Island was still an elite place. The poor people didn't go to Coney Island. Only people who could afford to drive there, had a horse, whatever. There were a lot of horse racing tracks in Coney Island, Sheepshead Bay in those days. Anyway, Nate, this man named Feltman opened a beer garden. I'm going to give his whole history, but he had a whole history. And Nathan worked for Feltman's. Feltman's had entertainment and singing waiters, including Eddie Cantor. Irving Berlin actually worked at Feltman's as a singing waiter. And Jimmy Durante, one of my favorites, was a Feltman's entertainer. And then Sophie Tucker, who I only remember from her bawdy days, but maybe she was always bawdy, I don't know. Anyway, Nathan, being a fellow Jew, palled around with some of these other fellow Jews, and it was a German beer hall, after all. And they said, "What are you? You're too good for this, Nathan. You should open up your own place." So, in those days, Feltman's was charging $10 for a hot dog in the beer garden, a nice place. So Nathan opened up a place down the street, and he decided he was only going to compete with Feltman's. He charged only five cents a hot dog. Nobody came because hot dogs were already a little suspicious. I mean, they were called hot dogs, after all, and there was always a rumor that maybe they were made with dog. It was really a horrible reputation. But there you are. And so, but Nathan, being a clever guy, invited doctors from Coney Island Hospital to come and eat for free as long as they wore their hospital, what do you call them? Well, in those days, they were all white. Nowadays, the scrubs. As long as they wore their scrubs, they could eat for free. So people would see that doctors were eating at Nathan's. So how bad could the meat be? And that's what made Nathan's. Now, why is it famous? It was named famous only a few years after it opened, and it was hardly famous. But in the 1920s, Nathan's opened in 1916. By the 1920s, early 20s, the word famous was a big deal marketing term. My grandfather, in fact, worked at a Jewish dairy restaurant here in Brooklyn on Eastern Parkway called The Famous. And then on 86th Street in Bensonhurst, there was a place called The Famous Cafeteria. I never found out if they were related, but there were a lot of things that were famous then, and not famous Amos cookies. That came way, way later. But yeah, famous was a word they used just for marketing. Anyway, that Nathan's is still there. Feltman's is not. In 1921, the subway reached Coney Island, and it changed the whole place altogether. You had these enormous amusement parks like Luna Park. And now where Feltman's used to be is an amusement park called Astroland. And not that many years ago, I mean, within recent memory, Feltman's, somebody bought the Feltman name and brought back the Feltman hot dog. And it was a big deal announcement here in Brooklyn. And I ran to see what this was all about. And it turned out to be just literally a hot dog stand in the entrance to Astroland. And the hot dogs I didn't like very much at all. A couple of years forward, I belong to a social club here in Brooklyn called the Montauk Club. And we had a night where the new owner of Feltman's came and brought hot dogs and gave us a lot of history that wasn't really history. But anyway, it was fun. And the hot dogs weren't very good, even though they came directly from Feltman's. I'm not sure if they're even making these hot dogs anymore. And I'll have to say, in general, I'm down on hot dogs. I have not found hot dogs to be very satisfying anymore. And if I do go to Coney Island, like I take an out-of-towner, I don't eat a hot dog at Nathan's. I mean, first of all, I think it's like $5 a hot dog now, which is a little crazy. I think they're cheaper on the New Jersey Turnpike than they are in Coney Island. And I don't know, just it's not the same, I have to say. And certainly it's not the same if I buy them in the supermarket and then cook them at home. But what I do get at Nathan's that nobody seems to know about is they make very good clam chowder at Nathan. They do have a clam bar. My mother used to get something she loved, and somebody mentioned this to me the other day. Oh, where can I get this? What we call in Brooklyn, chow mein, or my mother would say charmaine, on a bun. It was basically, I guess maybe they did put some shredded chicken on the top. I don't remember that part. I remember that it was mostly celery and onions in a gloppy, slightly soy-flavored sauce. And they would put crisp-fried, you know, Chinese noodles on top, and it was on a soft bun. I never found that appealing, but my mother did, and obviously many, many other people did, because it was a very popular item at Nathan's. Besides the hot dogs, which we all ate. So it is a hot dog day, July 4th. I don't know what products people are buying these days. I found my Nathan's hot dogs that I bought not too long ago to be too salty, but that may be me and not so much the hot dogs. There's a brand called Best that I like, Best Hot Dogs. They're made in New Jersey, so it's almost a New York hot dog. And what distinguishes a New York hot dog is the spicing that really was developed by Nathan Handwerker's wife. And they still use, it's still considered a spicy hot dog. I bought, the ones I bought recently seemed awfully small, though. I wonder if they come in different sizes. And I do know they come both natural casing and without casing. And if you can find, not easy, if you can find the natural casing, it has that old-fashioned snap to it, you know, when you bite in and right. It spurts with a little bit of fat, which is a good thing. Yeah, so anyway, as I say, I like them on a grill. That improves them, but I don't have a grill to do it on.
So
anyway, yeah, also, I must say, this weather is getting me to have a... I don't need any drugs to lose weight. Let's put it this way. My appetite is zero, given the humidity and heat here. But not as bad as if I called my friend Iris in Rome when I heard what the temperature was like in Europe. But in fact, Rome, it was in the 90s when I talked to Iris the other day, but it wasn't in the hundreds as it is in other places in Europe.
Right.
Anyway, they don't have hot dogs to keep them warm.
No, and they don't. The air conditioning. I just remember this from years ago.
I have to say that Iris has this luxury apartment. It's not a luxury apartment, but it's luxurious in the sense that she's on the top floor with an elevator, and she has air conditioning. So on a good day, she can sit outside, catch a little breeze, and on a bad day, she stays inside with the air conditioning. I even asked her the other day, because you know electricity in Europe is more expensive, oh, certainly in Italy, is more expensive than here. And she said, it doesn't matter what cost it is, I'm using the air conditioning.
Yeah, that is...
I know. And also, I have many friends who have no air conditioning. It doesn't seem to faze them. They're so used to it. The funny thing is, you hear two things in Italy. Air conditioning is responsible for climate change, or clothes dryers are responsible for climate change. I hardly know of a clothes dryer in Italy. Everybody hangs their laundry out on a line, and nobody seems to mind looking at it either. Here, I hear people complain. I have heard complaints about people having to look at other people's laundry on a clothesline. Please,
okay, guys,
nice,
time to wrap it up, please.
It sure is. So anyway, everybody have a happy 4th or whatever you do on the 4th, even if it's just napping away the 4th, which is a good thing to do. And don't eat too many hot dogs and indulge in ice cream.
It sounds like really good advice, Food Mitch. So thank you very much. Have a good 4th.
You're most welcome.
Happy 4th.
And you too.
This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mitch, on Robin Hood Radio.